This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Baruchim Abam, welcome everyone. Again, Chodesh, Chodesh Nisan, Chodesh Shel Geula, Chodesh V'Nisan Nigalu, V'Nisan Asidin Ligal. So, in honor of the new month, we're starting a new perek. Could you imagine that Hashkacha Pratis? It's unbelievable. Mitchilas Habriya, Hashem arranged that on the first day of Nisan, we should start the ninth parak of Ksubais. Hakoisev l'ishtai, one who writes to his wife. Listen here, lady. Dinu dvarim ein li benichsech. I don't have a judgment and I don't have a claim against your property. What exactly does that mean, I don't have a judgment and I don't have a claim? Well, normally, you know, a husband has a number of rights in his wife's assets. He gets the payrois, and he yarshins, and if she sells it, his rights of the fruit are ma'akev the sale. So he basically, we could interpret it as he's saying, I don't get the fruits. Is he saying, I don't yarshin? Is he saying, I don't have the right to be mevatel the sale? We say, someone who writes to his wife, dinu zvarm ein li benechsech, hareza oichel payrois b'chayeha. He eats the fruits during her lifetime. The emesa, and if she dies, yarsha. He inherits her. In other words, his statement is meaningless. Im kain lama kasavla dinu zvarm ein li benechsech. If so, regarding what is he saying, that he has no claim, he has no judgment or claim against her assets, she'emachra v'nosna kayam, that if she sells it and she gives it, the sale is valid and his ownership of the fruits is not ma'akev, the validity of the sale. So he says, I have no claim against your assets. We don't say that means he doesn't get the fruits. We don't say that means he doesn't yarshin her, but we do say he's abdicating his rights to the fruits to the extent where she's allowed to sell it. And his rights to it is not ma'akev. Kasavla, if he wrote to her, din udvarim ein li benichsech, I don't have any claim or judgment against your assets, uve peiroi sehen, or their fruits. So now, not only is he saying, I abdicate my right to stop your sale, but I'm not having your fruits. Hareza ino eichel peiros b'chaya. He does not eat the fruits in her lifetime, but ve'emei sayarsha, he still has not abdicated the ability to inherit her. Okay? Rabbi Huda says, La'olam oichel peiroi peirois. Even if he says that I don't have any connection or rights to your fruits, he always could eat the fruits of the fruits. That means if, let's say, those fruits were sold and he bought and property was bought, he still retains the right to have the fruits of those fruits. Even though he says, I do not have rights to your fruits, however, if those fruits are sold and they're transferred to Karka, he does have rights to the fruits of the fruits. Okay. Ad sheyichtoiv la, until he writes to her, din udvarim ein li benechsech, I have no claim or matters in your property, uve peiroisan, and the fruits, uve peiroi peiroisan, and in the fruits of the fruits, ad oilam, forever and ever. Okay. Kasavla, let's say he writes to her, din udvarim ein li benechsech, I have no rights to your property, uve peiroisan, and the fruits, uve peiroi peiroisan, and the fruits of the fruits, bechayech, in your lifetime, uve moisech, and in your death, ein oichel peiros bechayeh, he will not eat the fruits in her lifetime. And not only that, v'mesa, if she dies, eino yarsha, he does not inherit her. Why? Because here he explicitly said that he has no rights not only to her assets in her lifetime, but even upon her demise. Rav Shim Gamliel says, v'mesa, if she died, yarshana, he would still inherit her. Why? Because the Torah law is that if a wife dies, the husband yarshins her. And therefore, he is stipulating against the Torah rule. Mevnei shemasna mashikas b'Torah. He is stipulating on what it says in the Torah. V'chal hamasna mashikas b'Torah. Anyone who stipulates on what it says in the Torah, t'nai batal, the t'nai is batal. Okay? So this is basically to review. If he says, I have no rights to your assets, he could eat the fruits, he does yarshin her, all he is limiting himself is she's allowed to sell the land. If he says, I have no rights to your assets and the fruits, he doesn't eat the fruits, but he yarshins her. Rabbi Yehuda says he would still eat the fruits of the fruits unless he explicitly said otherwise. If he says, I have no rights to your fruits, the fruits of your fruits, in your lifetime and in your death, he does not eat the peros, not in her life, not in her death, and he doesn't inherit her. But Rav Shimon Gamliel says you cannot negate inheriting her. That is stipulating against what it says in the Torah. Tani Rav Chia. Rav Chia taught, Ha'imer le'ishtai, one who says to his wife, the Mishnah said, Tani Rav Chia ha'imer le'ishtai. It says in the Mishnah, someone who says to his wife, or actually, Rav Chia taught that the same thing would apply if you say it to your wife. Meaning the Mishnah says, Hakoisev le'ishtai. But Rav Chia is teaching, even if you say it to your wife. Because that's a chiddush of Rav Chia, that it's not required to write it, it is sufficient to say it. So the Gemara asks, and even to write it, why is it effective? V'chikasavla, and if he writes it to her, V'chikasavla hachi, mai, then what? Mai havi, what would be? Meaning, and let's say he says, in other words, the Mishnah says you wrote it. Rav Chia added, the same thing would be even if you said it. So the Gemara is challenging, even if you wrote it, why is it effective? Because basically what the Gemara is going to ask now is that you cannot basically abdicate your ownership in something you own and relinquish it to somebody else. That's an ineffective transfer. It's an ineffective transfer to say, you know what? I relinquish my rights in something that I own and it should go to you. Well, how exactly did you give it to that person? So what do you mean you said, oh, dinu dvar me'ein li b'nechsech? What do you mean dinu dvar me'ein li b'nechsech? But you own it, but the guy owns it. The guy has rights to it. That should not be effective. V'atani, we learned in a braisa. Ha'oimer l'chaber, when it says to his friend, din udvarim inli al sadazu. Any law or matter I don't have in this field. Basically, Rashi says we're talking about a field of partners, and one says to his friend, din udvarim inli b'nechsech, or v'inli esek ba, I have no business with it, or v'yadi mesulek eshimen, or my hand is removed from it. Lo yamar klom, said nothing. Why? Rashi says because it's not a lashon matana. You're not gifting it. Basically, something you own, you can't relinquish to somebody because it doesn't transfer it to them. In other words, why can't he make it hefker? He could make it hefker, but he's not. He didn't say, I am mafker my chelek. He just says, I have nothing in your possession. Okay, it's good to know, but you do. It's like somebody staying in a house and saying, you know, I don't have a house. Okay, you know, we knew you were crazy before. Now you're just confirming it. But you, there's no transaction. In what way are you giving it over to the other person? Or ainli esekba, or yadi mesulekes hemena, loy amar klum. Now yadi mesulekes hemena sounds like you're foregoing it. Basically, something you own with someone else, in order for that other person to have it and you not to have it, you have to be makna it to them. So how could a husband say to his wife Din udvar meini benechsech. He has a partnership with her in this property. So, says the Gemara, Amri de Rabbi Anai. They said in the Academy of Rabbi Anai, Bekoisiv la, the Oida Arusa. Where he wrote it, when she was still in Arusa, before she became a Nesua. Rashi says, certainly someone who has karka and he wants to give it to his friend, he needs a full-fledged Lashon Matana. The Mishnah is talking about where he wrote it to her before she was Zoicha in the Nechasim, and he is stipulating with her he was Zoicha. In other words, she's an Arusa to him. And he was not yet Zoicha in the Nechasim until the Nesuin. So he's stipulating that when I do Nesuin to you, I don't want to acquire it. I don't have to transfer it to you. I could just make it that it never came into my Rishus in the first place. In other words, if you have already have ownership in something, then it's not sufficient to say, well, I have no connection to this thing. What do you mean no connection? You're the owner. So if you want to transfer it to somebody, you have to be maknet to them. You need a Lashon HaMatana. But the case is where he says this to her after she is an Arusa, after the Kedushin, so she owns it, but before he has any ownership in it, because he only first owns it after Nesuin. So what he's doing, instead of giving it to her, he's not transferring it to her, he's just saying, I stipulate that I don't want to have any rights to it at the time that ordinarily rights would be given to me. When I do Nesuin to you, and ordinarily I will become your partner, I have decided not to take upon myself the partnership. If I'm an owner, I can't transfer it to you unless I make a formal act of transfer. But if I don't have ownership, then I could merely remove myself from potentially becoming an owner. So that's the case of because of love, Oida Arusa. Kidrav Kahana. Damrav Kahana. Nachla Haba La'adam Mimakoy Macher. An inheritance that comes to a person from another place. Adam Masne Alea. A person could stipulate Shelo Yiroshena, not to inherit it. What is this talking? Okay, we're going to talk. So good. This is talking about Nachla Haba Mimakoim Acher. What does that mean? This is not an inheritance from his fathers, but through something that he does, an inheritance will come to him. For example, let's say he marries a woman and one of her mother or father dies. So he is inheriting that property through his wife. As a takana drabanan. So what he does, the rabbi said, when you marry a woman, you get what she yarshins. So he has the right to say, you know what? I forego the right I have to what my wife inherits. So there he's not being makanet to her, he's being moichel the rights that the chachamim gave to him in it. Uchid Rava, like Rava said, the Amar Rava, ha'oimer, one who says, I efshi b'takanas chachamim, I do not want a takana of the Chachamim. If somebody says, I don't want, if the Chachamim made a takana for my supposed benefit and it's not beneficial to me, Kegoin Zu, for example, the case that Rava was talking about, which we'll see what it is, Shoymin Lai. We listen to him. In other words, if the rabbis made a takana for someone's benefit, and the person say, well, that's nice they did it for my benefit, in this case it doesn't benefit me, I forego it, they're allowed to do it. Like Rava said, what was the case of Rava? Mai kegoinzu, kidrav huna, amarav, the amarav huna amarav. We know the chachamim were mesakein that a man should support his wife and give her mezoinos to feed her. And so that he doesn't do it begrudgingly. Rav Huna said, so he doesn't do it begrudgingly. They were a mesakein that he gets the handiwork of his wife. Now, the reason they did it this way is because very often a woman would not be able to support herself. But what if she's a millionaire and the guy's a shlemazel shlemiel who makes minimum wages, so she could say, do me a favor, don't feed me potatoes, and I'm not giving you my wages. The only reason you told him to support me is for my benefit. But it's not for my benefit. I make more money than he does. But like Rabasi asked, what if he inherits her? What if he inherits something? If he inherits something, there's nothing to talk about. There's no way to say, well, I'm moichel the inheritance. That's not a takana d'rabanan. That's a reality of existence that midoraisa, you inherit your relatives. Says Gemara, I hachi, if so, afilu nesua nami. Then even if she's a nesua, that if the reason why he could forgo is because it's his takana, and he could be moichel on it, why did Rabbi Yannai have to say that it's talking about where he wrote to her while she's still in Arusa, even if she's in Asua? Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Nesua Yadai Ki Yada. A Nesua, his hand is like her hand. So if his hand is like her hand, they're like partners. And if they're like partners, it's his Nechasim. And then a full-fledged Lashon of Matana would be necessary. And it would not help to say din udvarim einli binachsayach. So again, Rav Abayi said, a nesua yadoi kiyada. His hand is like her hand; they would be like partners. Rava Amar, Rava said, yadoi adifa miyada. His hand is greater than her hand. Not only are they partners, he's the dominant partner. Who cares? What difference does it make if he's an equal partner or a dominant partner? Nafkamino l'shemeres yavam. The nafkamino is for the case of shemeres yavam. Get ready for a whopper of a Rashi. Says Rashi, nafkamino l'shemeres yavam. Rashi says, regarding saying dinu dvarim, there's no difference whether you're equal to her or whether you're stronger than her. Dinodvaram Einli Binachsayach will not help to be misalik somebody from something they already own. Where is there machlokes Abaye and Rava if Yadoi ki Yadoi Yadoi Adifa Miyada? It's regarding a Shomeres Yavam. Abaye and Rava argue in Yavamis on Daf Lamed Tes by a Mishnah that we had earlier on Daf Peyomid Beis. It says, a Shemeres Yavam, that Nechasim fell to her, and then she died. The question is, what do we do with her Ksuba? So what exactly is the Machlokes? If you remember, Beis Shammai says they divide it, and Beis Hillel says it goes to the Marikama. Abaye says the Machlokes is that it fell to her when she was married to the husband, Abaye says the machloikis is, it fell to her when she was married to the first guy. Because Abaye holds, yadoi ki yada. Therefore, when the first husband dies, and she falls before the Yavam, and then she dies before Yibam, her heirs, and the heirs of the husband, they are coming to inherit her. Her heirs and the heirs of the husband, they're both coming to inherit. One is coming to inherit because, look, it's their sister, and one because it's their brother. In other words, some are coming to inherit from her kayach, some from his kayach. According to Beis Shammai, is better to divide. And according to Beis Hillel, we go by the Marikama. And Rava argues on Abaye. Why? Because Rava holds that if it fell to her when she was married, No, Yadai Shel Baal is better than Yada. And therefore, when she dies, the Yavam takes his place. And in that case, in other words, if it fell when she was Tachtav, everyone would agree it would go to him. And the brother, the Yavam, would be in his place. And it's only if she died when she's a Shemes Yavam, and she wouldn't get anything. So the Mishnah would have to be that it fell to her when she was a Shemeres Yavam, but not when she was married. In other words, what's the nafgamina, whether they're equal or whether he's stronger? The nafgamina is, if they're equal, you could say like Abaye, that the Mishnah, where we have Machlokes, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai says divide, is even talking about it fell to her when she was married to the first guy, because Yadai ki Yada. But according to Rava, where his hand is stronger than her hand, the Mishnah on Daf Pei cannot be talking about where it fell to her when she was married, because then his hand would be stronger. They would only argue if it fell to her when she was a Shemeres Yavam. That's what it means, Nafgamina b'Shemeres Yavam. Okay? So again, in a nutshell, To summarize this complex Rashi, is the nafgamina, whether they are equal or he's stronger than her, is if they're equal, then you could learn the machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel on Daf Pei, is when the chasim fell to this woman when she was married to the first guy, then the first guy died, then she fell to Yibum, so now since her hand was equal to his hand, when she falls to Yibum, her Yarshim could divide, possibly with his Yarshim. But if you say his hand was stronger than her hand, if it fell to her when she was married to the first guy, then he was dominant in owning that Yerusha, so then when he dies, why would it go later if she dies to her? To be divided, it would definitely go to his Yarshim. And therefore, Rava, who says Yada Ki Yada, would say that the Machloikus could only be in a case where it fell to her when she was already a Shemeres Yavam. Okay, next. Iboilahu. They had the following question. What's the question? On Rashi says, it's going on the Braisa. Someone who says to his friend, Din Udvarm Einli Al Sadazu. Let's say we're partners. And I say, you know what? I have nothing to do with your sada. Ainli asekba. We said it's ineffective. But we're not talking about the Mishnah. Why? Because in the Mishnah, you don't even have to use a Lashon Matana. It's enough just to say, I have nothing to do with it. Our question is like this. In the Braisa, when we're partners, where the Braisa quoted earlier says, if we're partners, if I'm a partner with you, and I say, yeah, I have nothing to do with my chelik of the partnership, it's completely meaningless because I own my chelik of the partnership. What if instead of me saying it, I make a kinyan chalipin with you? I say, friend, not only am I abdicating from my chelik, and I make a kinyan on what I just said. So why would that not be good? On the one hand, do we say, I'm making a kinyan on my chelek, so I'm makna to you my chelek? Or do we say, I'm making a kinyan on what I said? And since what I said is meaningless, so I'm making a kinyan on what I said is also meaningless. In other words, do we say you're making a kinyan on the property, or are you making a kinyan on the amira? If you're making a kinyan on what you said is rubbish. It's gibberish. It's meaningless. So it doesn't help if you make a kinyan on that. Or do we say, no, you're not making a kinyan on what you said, you're making a kinyan on the property. Iboilahu.
Ever make a kinyan on
Dibur? When do you?
When do you ever? What's a case, a classic case of making a kinyan on a Dibur? You make a kinyan on a transaction, never on Dibur. I'm saying, Pashtus, it makes sense that he's doing a kinyan, that it's akin to a matana. That he's doing a maisa to transfer the property. It's not that he's doing kinyan to just reiterate what he just said, because you don't do kinyanim on Dibur.
But the thing is, he says,
we have a precedent that you can end a partnership
apply this method of making a kinyan on a dibur?
Well, kinyan on an ineffective dibur is meaningless. The thing is, we can only go by what he does. He said, I'm being misalik myself. So there's a tzad to say, he's formalizing what he said. He's formalizing what he said. I mean, I'll give you an example. There are many precedents of that. Well, I mean, what? L'chadchila, when you do mechiras chametz, what are you doing? You're authorizing someone to sell chametz. So what's the kinyan for? L'chadchila, you're supposed to do a kinyan. What's the kinyan for? You're being makna the chametz to the rabbi? Or you're being makna the appointed? You said he should do something for you. You're formalizing. The answer is the latter. What's being questioned of when are you ever makna amira? Well, that's an example. That's why it's not ma'akev. That's why if you're not able to make a kinyan, it's still effective. So the kinyan is what we call la'alume milsa. Sometimes a kinyan formalizes the process. So it's not that you're makna words. You're right, you can't be makna words. But it strengthens the commitment. The problem is if the commitment was meaningless, you can't strengthen something that doesn't have substance to it. So we'll see Rashi. Kanu miyadai mahu. What if you make a kinyan? Amar Rav Yosef, midin udvarim kanu miyadai. Rav Yosef says you're making a kinyan on the words of din udvar mainly b'nechsayach, and therefore it's meaningless. Rav Nachman Amar no, migufa shel karka kanu miyadai. Look at Rashi. Mahu, mi amrina on three lines in the bottom. Loi hikne b'chalipin halalu klum. You weren't makne in this chalipin at all. V'loi amar aleha. All you said is ela lashon dinu dvarim. Ay dilma, ein chalipin bum ela ladavar sheish by mamish. Chalipin only counts for something that's substantive. Shazek koine.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.